what you're doing to me. I'm utterly at your whim. All of my defenses down. Your camera looks through me with its x-ray vision, and all systems run aground. All I can manage to push from my lips is a stream of absurdity. Every word I intended to speak winds up locked in the circuitry.
From the Babylon Podcast Studios in an undisclosed location in beautiful Southern California. It's Babylon Podcast, where gay is the way and no topic is left unturned. With your hilarious big-haired hosts, Philly Dean and Scooter Booter. Get your cocktails ready as they dish the dirt and drink the juice. Podcasting in 3, 2, 1.
Hello!
Hello, Scooter Booter! How are you?
I'm fine. It's fine Thanksgiving week.
Yes, it is Thanksgiving, isn't it? Happy Thanksgiving. Are you cooking a turkey?
Happy Thanksgiving. I'm not cooking a turkey. I am the turkey that is driving to Phoenix.
You're the turkey that's getting stuffed, I'm sure.
If I'm lucky.
Well, honey, you better start thawing yourself that frozen heart out now.
Oh my goodness.
You know, it doesn't.
No, I don't think
it doesn't thaw out overnight.
No, I know. I don't think there's enough days to make that happen.
Well, you're listening to Babylon Podcast. I'm Ann Phyllis,
and I am Scooter Booter.
And thank you for joining us. So we are in episode 93. We are full force towards episode 100, where we're going to have huge, great entertainment for you.
We should hit it by 2015.
At this rate, it's going to be a while. But anyway, so we have a lot to talk about today. But what was this? First, I got to just get this off my chest. What was that we listened to coming into this show? Because I about just threw my earbud off and ran off the room. What was that?
That was Totally Automatic from Ultranate. I think either 2007 or 2009. Back in the day when we were just chillins.
When we were just little babies?
Yes.
Now, why would you play a song that's so old? I thought we were fresh.
We are fresh, but that one just caught me the other day, and I just thought, if it caught me, it might catch some other people, so... Sometimes we have an oldie but goodie, kind of like me.
I mean, the only thing it caught.
I've got the clap and I'm giving it to you.
You probably did get the clap.
Do
I need to go chapstick up my lips from my hello kiss?
I don't.
I'm getting it out right now.
I'm like, why would you need to chapstick your lips? I don't know what you have.
I don't know what kind of disease you brought back from the hinterland. Sleeping with a woman for a week, please.
Oh, well, that was probably the most dangerous part of my trip, was sleeping with a woman in the room.
Now, does anything happen at night with women? Like, not with you, but like, is there anything, like, are there any nocturnal emissions when it comes to a woman? Any weird situations that you ran into?
Any weird sprays?
No, you know how snails can kind of like slime as they go?
Are you asking if she slid off the bed in her own juices? Is that what you're...
Oh my.
Whoa.
No, did you slide off the bed in her juices?
Oh, no, no, no. You know, I have to say, I don't understand why Europe has never heard of, like the full-size bed or a queen-size bed. It's either a big bed, if you get a room with one bed, it's a big bed, like a king bed, or maybe it's only a queen bed. I don't know. I didn't see a bed with one room. Or the twin bed.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, did you grow up in a twin bed when you were a kid?
Yeah.
That's what I have, a twin bed.
Yeah, most people fit on a twin bed. It's usually not a problem.
Well, it's not a problem. And actually, I'm a very still sleeper, so it really wasn't a problem.
Okay.
I'm not used to going to a hotel and having twin beds being an option.
Oh, yes.
You know, and specifically, like, we booked 4-star hotel thinking, you know, bougie, right? Because we're bougie like that. And so I'm thinking, when I get there to this lavish place of luxury, 4 stars, and we get there. Yeah, it was nice, don't get me wrong, but first off, the lift, they don't call them elevators, they're lifts. The lift was either 2 persons or 1 person in their luggage. That was the size of the elevator. Did you see the picture?
Yes.
Yes, I mean, it's tiny. It's tiny. And so then you go up to your room and you get to the room, which is about the same size. And they've managed to get 2 twin beds in that room. And that's it. That is the 4-starness of the hotel, is that we got 2 beds.
So what is 3 stars?
I that was the question I had. I would hate to see what a 2 or 3 star hotel looks like if this is the 4-star hotel.
Maybe like a carpeted wall you could lean against.
You know, in Rome, they actually have the stars of the hotel engraved in the building. Like, there's no getting around it. They're there.
That's handy.
Yeah, it's very handy. Like, when you're looking for a place, you can see quite easily, okay, that's this star or that star. And they go up to 5. Maybe I should have sprung for the 5 stars. But it was fine. We didn't spend a lot of time in the room.
You sure it doesn't go up to, like, 10 stars over there?
Oh, was there a different system I'm not aware of?
Well, yes, the world does revolve around the United States of America, so it must be the same system.
So I started the trip in Rome, and I luckily had one night alone. One night only. That was my one night only.
Please stop. Stop. Stick to the story. I'll take care of the music.
So I had done a little research about, you know, gay places in Rome and wanted to go check out the nightlife. And the thing was, this Thursday night. So just like here, Thursday nights are not like completely bustling. You know, they're not the big, big nights. So there were no clubs going on a Thursday night. So I had to find where the bars were. And I basically was like throwing a dart at about a half a dozen bar names and really random descriptions of what's in the bar. So, and going off of people from like 5 years ago describing those bars. So I didn't have a lot of information. So I chose one place. I said, this is the one I'm going to go to tonight. So I get in the cab.
What was it called?
I don't even remember what it was called.
Pinocchio's? Finocchio's?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. It was some very generic name, Starlight or I don't know, some weird, some very generic name. And so the cab driver gets me to the where it was, except like we were both kind of like looking at the door going, he's like, are you, this is where you wanted to go? And well, that's the number, this is the name of the street, let me get out and check the place first. And it's one of those where you have to like do like a door knock and they open the door for you.
Okay.
And my first thought is, wow, maybe the gays aren't really like, maybe it's not really open here over in Italy. I don't really know. So I pay the cab driver, I go in, then I pay my, it was €8 to get into the bar. And I should have known the moment that they send you downstairs is the first thing. There's no upstairs to this place. It's all downstairs.
Uh-huh.
So that ought to right away tell me what kind of place it was. But I go down there, they had a bar and they had some gentlemen there talking, but the bulk of the facility was behind like those, you know, like leather strap doorways, you know,
yeah.
What I'm talking about. You got to walk through. And it was basically a sex club.
Okay.
So that was my first night in Rome. And, but I was able to, there.
So you had a good time?
No, because I've told you before, that's not my scene. I walk through. I'm not going to say that I didn't walk through.
Hey, for $17, that would be my scene.
I walked through, and I even went into the dark room. I went into the dark room. All right, I'm going to get really honest with you here, okay? I went into the dark room, and there was a lot of activity going on in the dark room. And I thought,
how dark?
No, it's very dark. Like, dark, you can't see dark. Dark, I was actually...
So activity, your hearing was telling you there was a lot of activity, or there was a lot of poking going on? A
lot of poking. Okay. A lot of touching.
Is this your wallet?
Well, I had that on my mind. I'm like, why did I come here with my wallet? You know, like, this is the first thing I'm thinking of, is they're going right for the cashola. But that wasn't the case. Had a couple little gropings going on. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I could get into this. You know, this is not my normal scene, but hey, you know what?
When in Rome,
exactly. And so just as I'm starting to get comfortable, and I knew, by the way, I could tell by the sounds, there is a very distinct sound to going on. So I knew...
Drinking pea soup? What? What? Sound to what?
I knew somebody was getting oral pleasure.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, okay, so there's activity going on in here. But it was darker at night. I'm just saying, it was really pitch black.
Was it you?
No, not yet. I think I would have known that. But no, that wasn't happening as of yet. So I'm thinking, though, well, maybe this person, when they're done with them, you know, maybe that's what, you know, they'll move right on over. You
so
know,
you stood close.
I'll stand in line. And just as I started to consider letting my guard down, and by guard I mean pants, I hear like a slap, like right there, like right in my face. Like I thought, and it just startled me so much that, I mean, just every instinct in me just like tensed up, and I was like, I didn't go running out
you
of the room.
You did that, didn't you? You do that when you get startled. I've known you long enough. Did you let out a gas?
I think I might have let out a little gas. And then
gas and a gas.
And then I just kind of like quietly left the room going, why did I even think that I could possibly get into this? You know, this is just so not my scene. Evidently someone must have got slapped on the ass. I don't know. Or maybe in the face. I'm not sure what was happening, but
sure your ass wasn't by somebody's face? Or I mean vice versa?
No, I wasn't involved in the slap at all, thank God. But that would have made it even more startling had it been my face.
So are you rethinking the choice of headphones for today's show?
No, I'm fine.
You've jerked it out of the machine almost twice now.
No, this is absolutely fine. It may be a little short.
You are kind of leaning forward, but that's good.
It's a short leash, but you know, what can I say?
You're going to have a neck cramp. Be sure you don't want to change. We got a little ways to go here.
No, I'm fine. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. So I think I mentioned to you that...
It's not the size. It's
I
what
don't,
you do with it.
I don't speak Italian. We know this, right? Except for the ciao. You taught me that. And by the way, they say that a lot over there. Ciao. Lots of ciao.
Told ya.
Just it's like ciao time over there. And but what's very similar to the Italian is Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I found my Spanish to be very helpful. But they also talk a lot with their hands. Did you know this? Yes. Very handy talking going on. It's like half their language is with their hands.
It's very distracting.
So when I got to the airport...
It almost seems aggressive if they're upset. like, are you trying to hurt me or hit me?
Hit me, right? Or...
So, yes.
Anyways, when I got to the airport, my original plan was to take the train from the airport to my hotel because my hotel was right off the train station in Rome. Rome, by the way, and the airport are about 40 minutes apart, so
yikes. There's
a little bit of a distance you got to travel. Well, it was like 11:30 at night by the time I landed, got my bags, went through their rigorous immigration process, which, by the way, was a little bit something like this. A quick open of the, they didn't even stamp my passport. I mean, I don't even know that they actually opened the picture portion of my passport. It was like literally an open, close, hand it back to me, move along. So,
terrorism has not come to Italy yet.
Yeah, I guess not. And plus, you know, how bad could I be? I'm from the United States of America. You know, it's like, they know I'm there for good.
Oh, they had a USA line.
So by the time I got out there, I was not in any mood for, you know, messing with the train or any of that bullshit. So I just said, I'm just going to get a taxi. So I get in one of these little taxis, and you know, in Europe, all the cars are tiny, right? Everything's a Fiat, you know, everything's a smart car over there. So I get in, this guy, I start talking to him in Spanish, and he's understanding me, and he's talking to me back in Thai, and I'm understanding him. But I quickly realize that he's a very little car on a very narrow street, driving very fast. And every time I would ask him a question, and he responded to me, he would take one hand off the wheel, and was like, half of his answer was with his, you know, right hand. And I started getting really nervous, because he's only got the one hand doing about 130 kilometers an hour driving down this road, you know, and I'm like, all right, no more asking this guy questions. I want both hands. I want 10 and 2. Diez y dos. Por favor. So they're very, very animated over there. Very animated, but very attractive. I don't know what happened to you, Scooter Booter. I think you got the short end of the Italian stick, but the men over there are very, very attractive. Way more than I anticipated. I wasn't expecting that. So I'm very...
I suddenly lost interest in your story. Back to me. All right, let's take a break from the vacation. We got a lot of vacation to go over. A
lot of vacation to go over.
So you may have noticed our recording quality. Sounds like we're sitting in a tin can.
Are we?
Well, we don't, because we're here. We're here listening to each other. But when we listen on the show, it's not our typical quality. We mentioned we had some recording issues last time, and we're trying to get that worked out, which involves Aunt Phyllis taking her show to the store.
Yes, I went down to the Cerritos Apple Store today.
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 Because I'm sure you would have done it 3 weeks ago when we had the problem.
Well, as you recall, honey, I think my last recording was like a day before I left.
It was.
And then, do you realize...
You took this computer on vacation?
No.
Okay, so why didn't you drop it off at the store?
You don't drop your equipment off at the Apple Store. They don't take it from you. They work on it while you're standing there.
Okay, so then you took it in today, and then what happened?
Well... They asked if I had an appointment.
Oh, because you booked one 3 weeks ago.
and I politely asked them, don't you know who I am? And they said, well, yes, of course. Do you have an appointment? Which I did not have an appointment. I figured I would be a walk-in. You know, people, I'm sure, book these appointments all the time and then don't show up, right?
That's like Disneyland.
Yes.
Just wait 3 months and you walk right on the right.
Walk right on in. So they weren't able to tend to the recording equipment today.
Okay. No good.
Sorry. Sorry for...
I understand you've been busy with your vacation and your full-time jobs.
Yes. Very busy.
It's been rough.
It's been rough. I'm busy. It's been nothing but busy. Did you like the soup, by the way?
Nice distraction. The soup was lovely. And let me tell the listeners what... we're looking at on our recording studio table.
Okay.
So I walk in, and I better not fling my arm too widely because I might catch something like this little tea set that's sitting in the middle of the table.
Do you like my little Turkish tea set?
It's like this very fine glass with, and
it's
painted
crystal.
With, oh, it's crystal.
It's crystal, honey.
It's crystal. I love a little crystal. And it's painted with silver, I would say?
Yes, I'm guessing silver.
Silver or something that looks like it.
Or white gold.
With little demi-tasse spoons in each of the teacups and a little teapot in the middle. It's quite darling.
Do you like it?
I do like it.
It's very symbolic to Turkey.
And it didn't really fit what I'm used to seeing here. And I immediately knew this must be a foreign treasure. You have this look on your face like, where are you going with this? I'm not going anywhere with it. I'm just setting the mood.
All right.
So if you hear a little bit of...
A little rattle?
Yes. We're having tea.
We're having tea. Yes.
We should serve wine in those little teacups.
Can you believe that in Turkey, that's what they drink the tea out of? That's like 2 sips of tea in every cup.
Is it hot over there?
It wasn't when I was there, but it gets hot over there. It gets hot eventually, just not now.
I think that's probably normal size for normal people.
Okay.
But we live here where normal is... supersize me?
So my 32-ounce hot tea is not normal?
No. When you're peeing the tea out and you're still drinking it, that's not good.
Oh, that's not normal. Oh, well, then.
I think we have a warped sense of proportion. I don't know if you noticed that at dinner.
That is true. Well, yeah. And okay, so...
Because I don't have any experience in Europe, so you'll have to tell me.
They have, they definitely do things in courses over there. So they have, like, the starter, which is an appetizer, maybe a soup or a salad. And then they have, like, a first course, which is generally your pasta. This is Rome, specifically, not necessarily Turkey or Greece. But, so they have the first, which is usually a pasta. And then they have the second course, which is, like, a meat dish. But, yeah, they are definitely smaller portions, for sure. But then, of course, they serve it with a basket of bread that, you know, doesn't really matter because you stuff up full of bread. But you know what I found really interesting about Rome and about Italian men in general? There are no fat people over there. They're not fat. I was very self-conscious because I was probably one of the biggest people hanging around in town. And I was thinking, they tell us that we're fat because we eat too much carbs and, you know, Italian food pasta is the devil and that is terrible for you. And something tells me they're eating a little pasta over there because that's all I saw. And they're not fat. They're very lean. And they're you saw some of the pictures I sent you, right? Those are very typical.
I would have to guess it's the amount of processed food in our diets.
Yes.
Not necessarily that you're out eating junk food every day because I know you don't do that. But just the amount of processed foods in general compared to other countries.
Yeah, over there, everything is fresh. Everything they make is fresh. Everything is prepared on site, including the pasta. So if you're getting raviolis, they've made those raviolis there. They didn't buy them from a processing plant.
What?
Oh, can you believe it? So, hence, my new...
Yes, I... Okay.
I don't know what's going on. We got.
I was going to run over there and shut it, but...
Car honking, car alarms, everything's going at one time. But, so hence my new kick. I am now cooking all natural, healthy, unprocessed food. So the soup that you ate,
yes,
that I prepared for you tonight, was all fresh ingredients.
Was there seaweed in there or spinach?
Those were collard greens.
Collard greens.
Collard greens. And sweet potato... And ginger, and not the ginger that came out of the jar. I actually bought a piece of ginger and I sliced it up and diced it and all that. This is everything in there was fresh and organic because I bought it from Whole Foods.
Look, you've had a worldly experience and you've immediately implemented some changes.
That's right.
Now, before you went, I recall you being a little bit nervous about leaving the country, which I at first was going, you got to be kidding me. You've been out of the country more than 99% of Americans, 99.9% of Americans, except it's to a very specific country that you've been.
A very specific country. So I'm very comfortable and used to that. So yeah, I was very nervous. I was very nervous going to a new place, a new foreign land.
Does this have anything to do with the reason you'd never go to the Caribbean with me?
Possibly. Yeah. I guess.
Now, did you die while you were over there?
Not yet.
In the foreign land?
No. There was a couple times I would like to have killed myself, but I didn't die. But yeah, I guess I want to think that I don't like the unknown, but then when I get there, I love it.
Of course.
So it's really weird. I don't know why I'm like that. I like have this fear.
You have to push yourself.
I have to push myself, but I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I love Rome. It's such
you learn all these things Rome that you think you know everything here, right? Because we know our routine. We've seen everything we've seen here. Yeah. You go to another country and everything's on its head.
Yeah. I immediately, like in day one, realized that in America, we are opulent pigs. And that's...
Yay! More wine, please.
And yeah, it's just, it's really bizarre. I don't know. I could see myself...
And why does everybody hate us?
I know, right? I could see myself living a certain amount of time in Rome. I'd like to, like, live in Rome. It's a very romantic city, so I could see myself falling in love in Rome. But, and living there and getting some, like, food, you know, cooking lessons. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could live there, like, my entire life, but it's a nice city.
So, wasn't dirty?
Rome was not dirty. Rome was very clean. One of the cleaner cities I went to.
Interesting, because when my grandmother came back from the motherland, her first comment was, it's dirty and I never want to go back.
What city?
Rome.
Oh, no. The only time I noticed, so there is a lot of turmoil in Europe in general, demonstrations.
She did live in Orange County.
Oh, well, that explains it. So there's some striking going on over there. And actually, when I flew out of Rome, the airport cleaning staff was on strike and clearly they had not been there for several days. So there were little walkways that had been cut through all of the rubbish that had piled up in the terminals of the airport. It was actually really kind of disgusting. But I get it. I get it that they're having a strike, and clearly nobody else can pick up the trash other than the people that are on strike.
Not the managers.
But that is similar to, like, remember when New York had their trash strike, and it was a disaster, right? Athens.
You know, Fullerton had a trash strike for a month.
Really? And what'd you do with all your trash?
It all sat out on the curb. It was, I should have taken a picture, honestly, because it was the most obscene thing ever. Now, we don't generate a lot of trash in the Booter household, but my neighbors, Jesus Christ, it was like double parked worth of trash out in the thing. And it's amazing how that trash is taken away every week. You don't add it up in your brain, but if you see a month's accumulation, you're like, where is all this going?
Yeah, and how did I generate it?
Yeah.
So, you know, especially the trash worker strikes, that always baffles me a little bit, because it's not like that work is going anywhere. These people that are on strike know that they have got a hellish couple of weeks of work coming when they go back, right? Like, they know it. They know that the trash is not disappearing. It's not vaporizing into thin air. So, you know, they know they're going to come back. And if they've, you know, maybe they've proven their point, but really, they're just going to have a real shitty couple of weeks. So Athens, the trash workers were on strike. There was trash all over the streets of Athens, overflowing. So I wasn't really impressed with Athens at all, because in addition to trash, there was a lot of graffiti. Athens was a really dirty city. Reminded me a lot of LA, to be honest. I wouldn't go back. Although what was charming about Athens, of course, is that's where they have the Acropolis.
Mm-hmm.
So I caused some people some dismay, because I told them we were going on a tour of the apocalypse, and they just weren't aware that was, you know, even available. So, and I was corrected. That's not, we weren't going to the apocalypse, but
because you would have died.
Yeah, that would have been the world.
The Acropolis.
Acropolis, different than the apocalypse. So I want to talk about this club that I found
in
Rome, to finish up Rome.
Okay, finish up Rome, and then I want to finish up your table.
Oh, my table. Okay. So, the second night, luckily, that was when my friend Karen arrived, and she didn't want to go out because she was jet lagging. So I said, no problem. You go, you sleep, you go
friend,
to bed.
Friend or frenemy?
Friend.
How did we end the vacation?
No, we ended fine.
Okay, good.
Everything's good. So I told her, no, lay down. Let me be sure I'll pet your hair until you fall asleep.
You must be exhausted.
Exhausted. Just take a nap.
Now, because now you've acclimated, and you know what you're doing.
And I want to get out.
Yeah.
Because I didn't tell you when I was...
You don't want to go to her version of the sex club that night.
Oh, no. Not at all.
When she goes, I want to go here, I want to go there.
Exactly. No. You go right there, and you lay down in that bed.
Twin bed.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll put the bumpers up on the side. So you don't roll off.
Oh yes, we don't want any of that, because then we'll hear. So when I was at the first club, the first night, I had picked up a map of the gay sites of the city. So there was one that existed, and so I made my way to the little gay strip. There's a little gay strip, and on a site, I try to tell this in like a minute and a half. I promise. The map for the gay clubs was not to scale. It wasn't even close to scale, because I was using it to navigate to get there, right? I mean, that's what you use a map for, right? So I'm like, okay, here's the train lines. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I want to go. I'm going to take train line A. I'm going to get off at this station, because that's where this street starts. Because
it's so close.
It's so close, and I'm going to walk right there, right? And there was a whole debacle in the train. I had not ridden the Metro yet. I didn't realize when you buy the tickets, you have to have like small bills, because it doesn't give so much change. So I have to go get change and then go back, and then realize that I was too stupid to realize that the change that they gave me was still too big. Yes, I made that mistake. I had to go back and get change twice. I can't believe it. I don't know what was happening to me. I was losing.
So you've now spent 15 minutes in the train station.
More like almost 30. Back, got the thing, got on the train.
You do need to get out a little.
Rode down, got off at the station, got up, started walking.
But you've been to New York, don't you? I mean, that's not really much different than that, is it?
Well, except you can pay with your card.
Oh, that's true. Now you couldn't pay with your card there?
No, you can pay with your card.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah, and it was like $1.50 or 1.5 euros.
Uh-huh.
And they'd only give 3 euro change. So that means you had to have a 5 euro. And I started with a 20. So So that wasn't going to work. And then I went up, and the guy gave me two tens, and I wasn't smart enough to catch it.
He wasn't smart enough to help you out with that?
And I guess he didn't really care. So anyways, so I get there, and I start walking, and it was not as close as the map would have you to appear. As a matter of fact, it happened to be about 2 miles from the train station. So now it was about 30 minutes before I even got on the train, probably a 15-minute train ride, and then it was an easy half an hour walk to get to the first bar. I'm going to put the whole thing at about an hour and a half.
Where was your phone in all this?
In my pocket.
Why don't you pull out the maps?
Because I had no service over there.
You had no service.
Okay. I had to be on Wi-Fi.
Okay.
So, and Wi-Fi was either at a place that you bought coffee or dinner, or gotcha. Was in the hotel, and I already gotcha. Left the hotel, so that didn't really help me.
Gotcha.
Well,
you were doing the best you could.
So, yeah, it took me about an hour and a half to get there.
Oh, sorry, your time's over. A minute and a half. That was fascinating.
About an hour and a half to get to the first bar. Now, just to complete this portion of the story, the next day, we ended up walking back there from the hotel in 15 minutes. It was, the map was so off kilter, so off scale, that I didn't realize just how close that whole section was to my hotel. I could have walked there faster than
Yeah, you could have checked that on your phone before you left the hotel. you could have.
It was really, I was laughing about it, but I was actually really ticked off the next day. So anyway, so I got down there finally, and I got a cocktail. So the way this is situated, there's like 3 bars, one block, one little short block. They're very small bars, but everyone drinks out on the street. They're not really in the bars.
Okay.
So they've set out like tables and more than just, you can be anywhere on the street. You can evidently can drink on the street in Rome. So there's like this just one block of this row that is just solid people, gay people generally, drinking, which was very, very nice. I met some people, started talking to people. Romans don't wear a lot of color, a lot of black and gray. I noticed that. Matter of fact, you knew someone was a tourist if they were wearing any color on them at all.
That's interesting.
Which I did. I wore purple. I totally was like standing out in my purple. So, and so I met this guy, started talking to him, and I was asking, well, I want to go to a dance club.
Were they fashionistas, or it was just a lot of black and gray? Just generally. Were they high fashion?
High fashion, black and gray. Yeah.
Okay.
They thought they were high fashion.
Well, high fashion uses a lot of black and gray.
Yeah. Well, it uses color too. They just chose not to use it. So a lot of black, a lot of gray. And
you're a woman.
So I started talking to him about like where to go for that night for a dance club. And so he told me about this place called Mocha Casino. Mocha Casino is the name of the place.
Okay.
Very similar to your Pinocchio. And so he found a card. There was an admittance card, €5 was the admittance. His normal price to get it was €20, which is like $26 to get in normally to this club. And so I was like, well, I asked him, are you going to go? No, I can't go. I got to work early in the morning. I'm like, oh, I don't know where it's at. And he's like, well, you know, you can get a taxi, no problem. So we talked for a little while longer, had another cocktail, and finally I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to head out. So he was very nice. He walked me to the cab, and then he, you know, told the cabbie in Italian where...
Hey!
Hey!
This is a gay, and he wants to go get gayer. Ciao.
Ciao. So I get in the cab, and he's telling the cabbie in Italian where to take me, and all of a sudden, like, that movie Hostel just like pops into my mind. Like, you know, I had no idea where he was telling this cab driver to
go
take
with
me.
It.
So, well, I did. I went with it, and he took me, and I started talking to the cabbie and was asking about the club, and it's only gay on Friday night. And he says it's a very difficult club to get into. A lot of people, big lines. So he goes, you're gonna have to wait for a while to get in. And I'm like, okay, you know, and it's already like midnight, 12:30. Get there. He was, no joke, there was 5 lines, and most of them had like probably easy 100 people in the line, like wrapped around the corner of the building. But 5 lines, and they were labeled in Italian. So I had no idea what the lines meant, what they represented, like, you know, straights, gays, bis, I don't know, black, white, brown.
Palsies, nunsies, halfsies.
Anything. I had no idea what it meant. All I knew was there was one line that only had like 3 or 4 people in it. So I'm like, you know what I'll do is I'll just go in there and I'll ask them, hey, what line do I need to get into, you know?
Get in line!
So I get into the, you know, behind these two people, and I had my little €5 card, and I just showed him the card, and I kind of did the hand shrug, you know, like, I don't know, you know, that's a very universal, I don't know, look, you know, with the hands and the shoulders.
I'm not illegal.
Yeah, basically. He gave me the once-over look, opened the line, he waved me in. Just go in.
Really?
Yeah. Yes! I was like, felt so blessed. I'm like, didn't have to wait in line or anything. Paid my €5 and in a way.
You got in the American line, apparently.
Evidently, in the American line. Maybe it was the VIP line, Scooter Booter. They knew who I was.
That is interesting. What could have made him wave you in? I mean, it's certainly not your charming looks or anything like that. It must have been, this guy's a tourist and he's got money to spend.
He's got money to spend. Money to burn. So I spent about an hour or two.
Plus, he knew you'd be in bed at 12:45, so he's like, I better get him in here now.
You know, he probably wasn't far off. If I knew I had to wait in line for an hour, I might have just left because, yeah, you know.
Did he take the $5?
No, he didn't. I had to go to pay the cashier, and away I go.
Oh, maybe he thought it was like a little tip of like, you know, get me to the front of the line.
Oh, well.
But he didn't take it.
So. He didn't take the money, no.
Interesting.
I didn't have the €5 in my hand. I had the card that was my entry ticket for €5. I showed him the card. Like, this is what I'm coming in with, this card.
Oh.
Not the €5. I didn't have the money. Bizarre. In my hand. I don't walk around with money in my hand. Now, that's silliness.
€5? Come on.
So I go in, I spend about a couple hours down on what I would think is the main level or the, you know, the entry level. This is where I know of and there's people and that's where I showed the picture that I took with the hot Italian boy and I took pictures with drag queens and was talking to people and getting drunk, drinking what, I don't know, whatever they were serving me because I didn't know what I was ordering. I just kept saying whatever he had.
Couldn't you see the bar behind you? I didn't understand that whole thing.
Asked for vodka diet or Coca Light. They didn't have Diet Coke. And I refused to drink regular Coke.
Okay.
So.
But you would drink something else that you didn't know what it was. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I figured I might as well drink what the locals are drinking, you know?
Didn't you see the alcohols on the bar?
It's not the same kind of, they don't have like the big display bar like that. It was all kind of very dark and very whatever. What I saw was her lift 3 bottles up and empty them into a glass.
Oh God, I would not have drank that.
And I figured, well, I like Long Island iced teas and it looks very similar. So it tasted so nasty and it was really strong stuff. So I was enjoying it, had a great time. And around 2:15, I said, I've had enough. You know, this is... We have a long day tomorrow, a lot of touring to do. You know, this isn't going to get any better. It's 2:15 in the morning, right? And I would say there was probably a couple hundred people on this level, maybe. Dance floor. You know, it was very fun, but very generic, kind of, you know? So I said, all right, so I'm heading out the door. And as I'm getting to the door, I noticed a staircase going up, and people were kind of going up and down the staircase. And I'm like, I wonder what could possibly be upstairs. So I go upstairs.
The Pope.
What's that?
The Pope.
The Pope, maybe. Yeah, the Vatican, sure. I get up there. I couldn't believe it. It was probably one of the most packed, biggest clubs I had ever seen in my life. And I've been to New York. I've been to here in L.A. There must have been 1,000 people up there dancing at this huge dance floor. All hot Italian men just... going at it. And then I got there just in the nick of time to see the drag queens and their go-go dancers come out and put on their little shows. It was fabulous, honey. It was, I just died and gone to heaven. I was having so much fun talking to people and they just do it right. They get confetti's falling from the ceiling. They got steam being blown up everywhere and go-go dancers on the dance floor groping each other. I was in heaven. I ended up staying until like well after 3 in the morning. I did not get back to the hotel room until probably 3:30, 3:45, and just had the worst hangover the next morning. It was the worst. I was hungover until midday. I went to the Vatican hungover. Mm-hmm. We did the afternoon tour at the Vatican. Totally hungover. So, yes.
You may dress like a Christian, but the similarity ends there.
Thank you. So anyways... So if we go back to Rome, honey, Mocha Casino on a Friday night, we're going to do it. Now, you saw the pictures, you saw the videos?
I did.
So you know what I'm talking about. It was happening.
What fact?
It was a lot of fun. Probably everyone asked me what was the most fun you had on the trip or what was the thing you liked the most on the trip. I'm embarrassed to say it was probably that. That was probably the most fun I had on the whole trip.
You probably enjoyed being by yourself, too.
I did.
You could be anybody you want to be when you're alone.
That is true. There is something about that.
There's no, you absolutely know there's nobody there that's going to call you out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it was great. So
that's cool. So So the rest of the table here. So half your table is littered in cheap little trinkets.
Yeah, I went crazy.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh.
Your earthquake detector.
Yes.
Yeah, so here's a little spice wheel.
Uh-huh.
This is for Poppy. Thank you so much. Where is this from?
That is from Greece.
Greek.
Those are Greek spices.
Is that a geek? Yeah, a Greek. Nice Greek boy sold this to you?
What's it?
A nice Greek boy sold this to you?
He was a nice Greek man.
Mm.
Yes.
Are they fresh?
I saw him. You know what? He was cultivating them. He was cultivating and grinding the spices.
And there's a little Greek oil in there. A
little olive oil.
Extra virgin. And I see nice little tea. What is this? Tea?
Apple tea. Yes.
Apple tea from Turkey.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of tea.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
I haven't figured out where that's going.
And some coasters and some magnets. And what are these little guys? Oh, more magnets?
More magnets.
You did... easily. Oh, and a nice, beautiful little candle holder that's kind of multicolored and the light reflects through it.
And I've got all sorts of Turkish delight. We put it up there because the window or the sun shines here, so we put it up over the refrigerator. I have several boxes of Turkish delight.
This is like at least a suitcase worth of shit.
I
and my very own apron from Roma, Italia.
I figure the Italian baker ought to have a Italian, what do they call those things?
Apron.
Apron, yes.
Yes, and the apron strings and the strap are the Italian flag, which is so Italian. Let me tell you. I mean, you know how the Puerto Ricans are about their flag? This is, the Italians are exactly the same way.
Yes.
Everything has to be lined in something in the Italian flag. So you know that they're Italian.
Exactly. So there's no question about it.
Right.
But do they realize that they share the same colors with Mexico? I would think they'd be a little less proud about that.
Slap! Right across the face.
Woo!
Mexico is green, white, and red. Italia is red, white, and green.
Oh.
Duh.
Excuse me.
There's only so many colors.
I know. That's true. Yes, I did a lot of I did a lot more shopping than I thought I would. I really don't know why. I guess I just felt good. I just got into it. I got into buying.
Get into it.
Everywhere I could go, I would buy.
Very nice.
You saw my little genie lamp that I bought?
Yes.
Yes, that is, I rub it every day, hoping a genie will pop out. It hasn't happened yet. So, but one of these
there's the blue one you were talking about.
A Loudon. Yeah, those are spices I bought in Naples, actually, to make some great Italian...
In Naples?
Yes. We saw a demonstration.
These look like dried vegetables.
Well, they're...
Do you make a soup out of this?
You make a... That's for a spaghetti sauce.
Ah.
You have to cook it down with fresh tomatoes and olive oil, and you make your own spaghetti sauce. And Megan, everything is fresh. Nothing in a jar here.
We're going to have to pry you out of a... Now, did you buy these Starbucks Italian roast one single serves in Italy?
Yeah. No, those were brought by Karen because she knows I like coffee, and we were concerned that possibly there may be a shortage of coffee.
And what's on the cover?
A little Vespa,
which is a scooter.
Yes, a scooter. Did you see the picture of me on my scooter?
I did.
I totally want to get a scooter now. Can I borrow yours?
Wait, I saw. Shut up. You're talking about the medical scooter. Did you see scooters in Italy? Were people on mopeds?
Yes. Did you not see the picture of me on my moped?
Not on the moped. I saw the one on the ship.
Oh no. Well, yeah, that was because of my ankle. I had to ride around one of those motor scooters for a while. But in Mykonos, Greece, the best way to get around in Mykonos is by a little scooter. Look at me on my scooter.
Oh, that's right. You went by yourself.
That was one of the days I got away. Yes.
Yes. Yes, you did write me. I did not see that picture. That's very nice. One of my favorite vacation memories is on one of those.
One of those.
Yes.
Yes, I had a great time.
It's very freeing. It's just you and the road.
Right. Now, I'm glad I did it in Mykonos because there wasn't a lot of traffic in Mykonos because, Mykonos is a summer resort town in Greece. So by November, it's all shut down. And by shut down, I mean eerily shut down. I really think they just opened up a couple places just for the ship. You know, like, all right, we open a couple shops. You all need to open up your shops for this ship to come in. It was the last time that they were going to be there this year. But I had said when I was in Rome, because they have a lot of scooters, I was like, oh, I want to rent a scooter. So when I rented it in Mykonos, and I was kind of getting used to it, because I don't ride motorcycles, I don't ride scooters. So I had, the balance.
Thank God.
You gotta.
Yeah. It's a little dangerous, right?
It is a little dangerous. It's a little unnerving.
And if you give it a little too much gas, you hold on to it. There's no like a jet ski. You can't jump off.
Right. No, you can't. And you get a little wobbly.
You gotta pull it out.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, it took me a little bit of time to get used to it. And I thought, holy crap, had I rented one of these in Rome? Let me tell you how they drive in Rome. I couldn't believe it. You think they drive crazy in Mexico? These people over there drive like they have not a care in the world. So you've got motos. I would say half the vehicles are the scooters. And they're weaving in and out of all of the traffic. And then you've got all the little smart cars, the Fiats, the Alfa Romeros, the smart cars. They're weaving in and out of each other. And in the mix of all that, you have all of the tourist buses that are like, you know, trying to cut through all that. And you literally have...
Are there any stripes on the road?
They don't care about stripes. Are you crazy? They are over the stripes. They're going through red lights.
It's more organic that way.
Oh, my God. I was sitting in a tourist bus and I was nervous. So I was like, holy crap, thank God I did not rent one of these things. I would have been killed.
Oh, no.
I would have been killed. I would have been wiped off the face of the earth. I would probably be still being dragged along underneath a tourist bus.
Yeah, right, that now. Would never occur to me. That seems so dangerous.
Oh, it would have been really... But they're doing it like... I mean, it's their everyday life, right? I mean, literally, they're navigating these scooters in tight areas, like between cars so tight that I don't know how they're getting their little mirrors by.
Scooters can get in tight places. Did you have a helmet?
Woo! I did have a... Did you see the picture? Yeah. I had a helmet.
Did they have helmets?
Mini did not. Most did not.
That makes me sad.
But I didn't see any accidents. I saw an accident right here in front of Rite Aid today. I saw no accidents the entire time I was in Europe.
You sharted your pants.
Yes. It was really the most important. I mean, you know that Rite Aid, right? Because they have the windows above the cash register.
Yes.
So I'm standing at the cash register checking out, and all of a sudden you hear the noise and you look up and you can just see debris flying. And everyone, including the cashiers, run out into the street. And we're all out there looking. Did anyone die? Oh, no. Okay.
You weren't helping yourself to the drawer?
No, I ran out too. Good point, though.
With your unpaid for goods?
I should have. They would never have noticed the difference. So anyways, it was a much different culture over there for the driving. You know how I drive in Mexico. When I'm down there, I drive like I'm one of them. I would not rent a car and drive in Italy. I wouldn't do it. It was just too much. Crazy. Way over the top. So, even for me.
All right, so you got on a cruise ship. This is your very first cruise.
First cruise.
With a nice cruise line.
It was wonderful.
Did the ship tip over?
Never.
Did a rogue wave come over the bow and ruin your vacation?
No, but the second night we did have 12-foot seas.
Okay. Did you feel trapped in your boat?
No. I never felt trapped.
Were you bored on the boat?
There were some times I was bored on the boat, yes.
Okay.
I will give you that.
What got you bored? Did you have a day at sea or something?
We had several days at sea. We had 3 full days at sea. And the first one was a day and a half at sea. Now, the only saving grace to that was it was actually a beautiful day. It was like 75 degrees. So I spent that day at sea laying out by the pool, which was fantastic. But the rest of the time was not pool weather by any means. So we had 2 full sea days that was not pool weather, which means you have to partake in some sort of other activity. And let me tell you, I was only bored. It was my own fault because I did not participate in the gazillion activities that they had to do.
Why not?
Because I didn't want to.
I bet you were bored.
But I wasn't really bored. I mean, I was bored because I didn't have anything to do, but it was actually kind of nice to not have anything to do.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. It's the reason I go away, because at home, I can't sit there and do nothing. I have to constantly do something.
Yes.
And it's not relaxing.
You know what? It was fine for me to go to the cafe, order a teapot of green tea, and sit there and spend 2 hours drinking it, doing nothing. I was okay with that.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd never do that.
Make yourself slow down.
Yes. Because when do I ever do that?
How was the food?
Oh, my God. Honey, look at me. I can't fit in any of my clothes. It is obscene. It is really obscene.
How good it is?
how much and how good it is. Uh-huh. And the way those people eat, it's like they've never eaten before. You uh-huh. know, when they get on that boat, it's like they just go crazy.
Now, was the boat half Italian, mostly Americans? What was the mix?
That was a good question. It is an American boat, so everything was in English, which I enjoyed. So there was a lot of English-speaking people, and that could be Canadians, Americans, and UK, a lot of that. There were a lot of Mexicans, there were Spaniards, there were Italians. Sure. I was surprised on the Mexican delegation, by the way. I didn't realize they had any money down there. But on the opening night, the cruise director, Damien, he did kind of like a, I know we have a lot of people from here and yeah. from here and from here.
Woo, yeah.
There you go, exactly. And when they got to Mexico, there was like a huge, loud, uproarious cheer. I couldn't believe it. I was
that
like,
new middle class from Mexico.
I guess it is. They're growing down there. So it was. They had every sort of activity. They had dance classes. They had cooking classes. They had the lecture series. I'm sure on your boats they had the lecture series on the ports.
Did they have a art?
They had art
studio, art studio, or whatever.
Shopping for days.
Dancing. Did they do dance, like dance lessons?
They did dance lessons, all types of dance lessons.
Okay.
They did everything.
Service. What did you think about the service and the people that work on the boat?
Impeccable. So, like the room attendant, I didn't really see him a lot. I know you talked up your room attendant a lot about your boats. I didn't really see our room. I saw him, but he didn't really like interact with us very much.
Okay.
But let's face it, he did an amazing job because, I mean, they make that room up at least twice a day because they make it up in the morning and then they turn it down at night. And if you take a shower in the midday, they like figure that out and they come and they clean the bathroom again.
And it's not his buddy coming to help turn down the sheets. It's still him.
Yeah, I know. They're working long days. But I was kind of amazed and it was a little eerie, like just how on top of things they were. I mean, I was shocked because I got up in the middle of the night one night to go to the bathroom and I got back to the bed and it had been made.
No.
I couldn't believe it.
Shut up. You have to admit, they know when you have your dinner shift and they're pretty on top of you. That's, you feel a little pampered. Now,
the person I liked the most on the ship was our assistant waiter. Alasan. I really got to like, I got to know Alasan very well. He was from Turkey. I have some pictures with Alasan. I think he might have had a minor crush on me, which was okay by me. And it was just so attentive. Like, he got to know the kind of stuff that I liked. He got to know that I like coffee, you know, about mid-shift, about mid-dinner.
I know what he was doing.
Kiss my brown eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he got himself a good tip. He was the only one that I tipped extra at the end of the thing. Because, you know, they collect the tip every day. And I went down to guest services. I got a paper, so I knew what everyone was getting paid.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned tipping the stateroom attendant. Well, he was getting basically $4 per person, so $8 a day from our stateroom alone. And I kind of felt like he did what I expected him to do. There wasn't really anything above and beyond. So I let him go with that. $8 a day, we were there for 12 days. That's a pretty good tip for him. So, but Alasan he went above and beyond in terms of like getting to know like what kind of foods we like, to tell us what to stay away from and what to get, not because something was better than something else, but because he knew like things that we liked in the past. If we liked that, we would
like
this.
You felt like he cared about you.
Yes. And he knew that about halfway through my dinner, I like coffee, so he would bring me coffee. I like it just before dessert, but not like at the beginning of dinner. I don't know. Call me strange. Call me crazy.
Was he burping you too? Jesus.
He was really on me.
You are high maintenance.
No, Karen was pretty sure that he was gay and had it. And he every night he was complimenting me on how nice I looked. And
now, were you at what kind of a table were you at? Like 8, 2, 4? Was it?
We made the mistake
flexible?
Of getting a two person table, which was really a mistake because then you're basically having dinner with your partner every night. Which if you
who was not your partner?
Yeah, who she was, of course, not my partner. And towards the end of the ship, it was like. Or at the end of the trip, there's not as much to talk about. But we got lucky because the table next to us, there was another couple from Canada, Toronto. And we became really good friends with them. We ended up doing some tours with them and spending time with them off the boat. So it was nice to meet them every night for dinner. And basically our two tops became like one four top. Although we never moved them together. But And they even sync our, you know, you sit down at the same time, but they still stagger when you order. You know, the first people to sit down are going to order first, and the next people, but they knew that we...
Who decided on the two top?
Well, because we've never done cruises before, we didn't realize...
Who? You?
Well, we went in and
who?
Just...
Tell me.
I guess I made the reservation, but I didn't know. I just went in and asked them for, you know, to redo our table assignment because they had assigned us the early dinner at 6:15, and I didn't want to eat at 6:15. I wanted the late dinner.
That's good.
So I went to the maitre d' and just said, can we get, an 8:30 seating? Yes, no problem. Here you go. Here's your new reservation. So I never really said that I wanted a two-top. I just said that we wanted
a two-top. Decided for you.
Yeah, he decided for us. So we're
gotcha. Two-top.
So we got lucky that we sat by really nice people that we talked to every night, and we they didn't really, they were an older couple, and they're Muslim, so they don't drink, so they did not participate in any of the nightly activities. Like, we had to drag them out to one of the shows one night. We're like, oh, come on, you'll like the show. So we took him to the show, and she liked it. He fell promptly asleep through the whole thing. So, but the food, the service, amazing. The entertainment?
So-so.
So-so.
Okay.
I met one of the dancers in the steam room.
Really?
Did I tell you that?
Yes. But I didn't hear what happened.
Well, we just... So I had gone to... It wasn't the steam room. It was the sauna, the dry sauna.
Yeah.
And I had dry sauna'd myself out. I was like basically a piece of beef jerky.
You were standing up to leave.
And I was standing up to leave, towel on, and who walks in but the best looking dancer on the ship. I mean, this guy has abs of steels. He's from, I think he, where in the hell he say he was from? I think he was from Brazil, but via, he lives in Miami, but very dark. That's what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make at. He's some sort of South American, dark-skinned, tight body, and just, you know, make you get all worked up. So he's walking in. Now I'm like, holy, you know, and I had made eyes with him a couple of times in the, you know, when we were walking around the ship, like I would see him in the chow line. Like, this guy actually eats, believe it or not. And so I would see him and we would nod, but that was it. So now that we're face-to-face in the changing room or the locker room, we started talking, and now he's going in the sauna. So here I am, completely dried out, like beef jerky, and I'm like, oh, yes, I'm just going in for a sauna.
Of course you are.
So I go back in. My heart is already racing like a 2-pound chihuahua. And so we're starting to conversate.
You're not sure if it's the man or the sauna at this point.
I'm really surprised I didn't drop dead of a heart attack.
You could have.
I really could have in there.
And you probably would have been fine with that.
Well, maybe he would have given me mouth to mouth. So
now, was it a men's sauna or a joint sauna?
No, it was a men's sauna. So we were in towels.
So you knew there was no chance of...
anyone coming in the interview.
Your roommate showing up.
Oh, God, no. No.
Oh. How do you, tell us how you really feel.
So I got to talk with him for a while, and you know, he let me a lot of insights on the boat, and you know, they, maybe you don't know this because you had mentioned to me that they don't segregate a lot of things. They do segregate a lot of things. They have their own, they have their own restaurant downstairs for the crew only. They have their own nightclub downstairs for the crew only.
No.
Yes, we heard this, and I verified it with a couple other people. They do. They have their own.
That's a great idea because, I mean, really, you can't expect these people to work 7 days a week forever and not party a little bit.
Well, and they are.
They don't want you to party with the guests. They want you to party.
They can socialize with the guests.
Of course. But the party with the guests.
Yeah, they can't take it too far. They've had problems on that boat already, and so they're very restricted because, of course, the first thing I said is, I want to get down to that nightclub because this one up here sucks. We were on a cruise with mostly older people, unfortunately, and it wasn't the cruise line. It was just that particular cruise because we had heard that earlier cruises in the season had a lot younger, hipper crowd and a lot more nightlife. You know, the nightclub was
the more laying packed. Out crowd.
But we definitely had the nearly dead crowd. So the nightclub never got used at all, except for the dance lessons during the day. But at night, we'd go in there at 10:30, 11 o'clock, midnight. Nobody in there.
Honestly, on all the ships I've ever been, I'm really struggling to think of an amazing night at the club.
Oh.
It always was like teenagers that were, you know, just old enough to be out, or I don't know, it just didn't seem, it seemed like the people were either in the casino or the show or drinking at the bar.
Yeah. Now, there was some,
But if there wasn't a lot of those in, to begin with,
there was
show.
Not a lot of going on in any of the bars at night. So he, I asked a couple people, like, "Oh, come on, you know, just don't take me down there," because everyone told me, I heard from three different people, anyone, if they get caught bringing someone down into those restricted areas, they'd get fired immediately, like immediate dismissal, because when the boat was brand new, they had a little commingling going on with somebody, and the girl evidently in the morning had second thoughts or regrets of what she did and claimed that the person raped her, and so that became a little bit of an issue for them. So they made it very stringent rules that the guests cannot go down to the crew quarters, and the crew cannot go to the guest quarters. So a crew member cannot go back to your room with you.
But you can get off port?
Yes, you can get off port. So I was given some advice where to go in Istanbul, because I was very anxious for a Turkish bath. That was kind of one of the things I was looking forward to. And so this actually was not the dancer Mark, but this was someone else that I had met, and we spent some time talking, and he told me of this place to go. If I want a Turkish bath, to go here. So he gave me the name, and I looked up the name online, and I had an address, so I was prepared when I got off the ship. I got to the taxi, and they didn't drop me off directly in front of the place, because that's not possible. So they dropped me off somewhere where I had to like walk to it from there, and I had to kind of figure out, because, you know, I don't know the area, and the maps are not great, and they do, their directions are different over there. I can't even explain it. I don't understand it. It's kind of like Salt Lake City. Can't explain it. It's just different. And so, you know, I'm asking people for the address, and they're kind of helping me, pointing me in the way, you know, that way, you know, this way, pointing, a lot of pointing. And so I finally get there, and it's another place where you pay your entrance fee and you go downstairs. I'm just going to make this a broad general tip. If you have to go downstairs as your first entrance into the club, it's some sort of sex related at that point. Like, you should just know that that's what's coming. So I get down there, and it wasn't the Turkish bath that I was expecting, in which someone takes you and washes you, and, you know, it's, you know, generally platonic as far as I understand how Turkish baths are. This was just a bathhouse, you know, steam rooms, beds, you know, beds. And
no, that's not really what I would imagine Turkish bath.
Yeah, no, it was a steam room, jacuzzi, pool, and then a bunch of rooms. You know, they led me to a room, but they gave me a towel that I could change into, so I changed in the towel. And then they have all the rent boys. They must have had a minimum of a dozen rent boys, if not more. They're all walking around, grabbing and touching themselves with their towels, rubbing their crotch. Sorry that I'm demonstrating to you.
How do you grab your dick? I mean, I'm not really clear, being a man myself, how that is done.
Sorry, that's the wine. I felt like I needed
to. No, my eyes were right up here the whole time. You know, like when you're talking with your, you know, woman at the workplace, how like you're spending 60% of your energy in that conversation keeping your eyes up here instead of
down there.
Don't look at their tits. Don't look at their tits.
Yeah, so these guys are literally roaming around, just stroking themselves through the towel, and then you go, I mean, they won't leave you alone. They are on you like white on rice.
You haven't been sold yet.
No, well, they're all assuming that that's what you're, that you're there for one of them.
Why else would you be there?
Somebody is going to get you. So, you know, they're coming up to me, and they're touching me, and touching my nipples, and the only English they know is, you want massage? Massage with sex? And I just was, like, so taken back. I'm like, okay, you're very forward. You're like, I know what I'm going to get from you.
Now, when you say with sex, what do you mean?
Well,
does that mean you're going to stroke my hair? Or there's going to be insertion? What do you mean?
A little pillow talk.
That is very direct.
Cuddling. It was very direct. And it was very...
Yeah, sometime our massage places are sensual massage.
Yes. Erotic.
Erotic massage.
Yes.
Or even as bold as happy ending, which is pretty straightforward, but it's still a very limited amount of sex that is occurring in happy ending.
Yes, yes. It's stroke you off.
That's basically hand on dick, and that's it.
That's it. No, these guys, because I went, the first thing I needed to do.
So what does it mean?
I needed to, when I got there, the first thing I needed
to do. For demonstration.
Pee really bad. I just had to pee so bad. And so I, like, my first thing was to go right to the bathroom to go to the urinal. And immediately, like, one of the guys walks up and he stands next to me at the urinal next to me. And he whips out his dick, you know, and he's like, you know, it's like stroking it right there. And he's like,
cut or uncut?
Cut. The Turkish men are cut. They're Muslim. They're
and,
cut.
And you want me to go there?
I know. Well, you're not going there for the dick, honey.
You don't know me.
You've got an uncut one at home.
You what don't know.
So,
if you're more than six time zones away, it doesn't count.
Is that the rule?
I've never been more than six time zones away. find out when we get there.
So he's like, are you activo or passivo? Are you active or passive?
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, he's being very, what do you like? You know, what is it that you want? So
I want to take a piss.
Yes, go to the bathroom. And so I gave him the answer, and he's like, I fuck you really good. And, you know, and I'm just like, this is not endearing. This is not like...
Wow, I feel so wooed.
I know, this is, you're not... Yeah, I'm not being led into this. Like, I don't feel like... I feel like this is such a business transaction.
So if I had said the other thing, you would have said it with just the same amount of vigor.
I know.
It's like, you really don't care what it is.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You just need to get it done so you can get the cash.
So you can get the cash...
Okay.
And get out.
You but know. Surely one of these men must have stoked your fire a little bit. They're all... You know, it's hot and bothered. They're all running around. They all want you.
They're all very good looking. Okay. I mean, they are good looking. Turkish men are good looking. They're a little more rustic than the Italians.
Under 30?
Oh, yeah, all under 30.
When you say Turkish men are all good looking, there is an age limit, I'm sure. You must have seen the older Turkish men.
Yeah,
the older
course,
Italian
yeah.
men.
Yeah, I mean, as all things, the age group that are similar over here that we might be looking at are the ones that we're looking at over there.
Well, I might say that there are a lot of Americans under 20 are probably hot hustlers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in the 20 group. So the difference between Italian men and Turkish men is just, they're a little more hairy. So a little more rustic.
Foreskin?
I don't know about the Italians on the foreskin.
Gosh darn they're, it.
You know, they're...
You need one of those little key lights in that dark room. So you could just check around a little bit.
What they got going on down there? Yeah, for sure. Then it would be hand on face.
Excuse me.
So, yeah, there were definitely a couple of real good-looking...
Good lookers.
Let's just say I was... interested in sampling the turkey sausage while I was there.
And did you?
You know, seeing that this is a free show, I find it best just to leave that to the imagination. More wine, honey?
No. No more wine.
I'll have some then.
Good, you have some more. We'll circle back to that. Baba Wawa wants to know.
I'll leave it to the imagination to determine what Aunt Phyllis might have or might not have done while I was there.
You're so, more of a have than a have not. Or a give, as opposed to a give not.
Yeah, so anyways,
I just want to say.
I'm so excited, I'm lactating!
Yeah, no, it was all very exciting. And Istanbul was probably my favorite city. And I've already told you I would really like to go there for like a week and check out the city and check out the nightlife. I mean, there's 15 million people in Istanbul, honey. Surely some of them are going to be uncut, even if it's a small percentage.
You know, the older I get, the lower my standards go. I'm not going to.
Hence some of your new friends I see you hanging out with.
Really?
They're
like wet naps. They come and go.
They come and go. So... I'm trying to think if there was anything else exciting that I had on my list. Oh, let me just look at my list. I wrote on purpose things that I was supposed to talk about.
Well, you've gotten 70 minutes of it so far, so hopefully you've hit most of it.
Yes.
I mean, people have ridden to work, ridden home from work, ridden back to work listening to this.
Yes, I know. Well, what can I say? You want to talk about some cruise tips?
Pick your best.
You want to talk about some cruise tips? Because you and I both have cruise tips. You've given me some, and I have some.
Sure.
You start. You had a good one.
Okay. Well, the late dining is a must for anybody between 20 and 45. Okay? The early dining are for the old people. Don't do it.
Yes.
And you are going to be rushed to get to that dinner.
Yes, because a lot of times your on board time is either after or just right at the early dining seating time.
Now, typically, when you think of being at home, you're like, well, I might eat between 6 and 8. So the 6:30, 7 o'clock dinner seems about right. Not the 8:30 dinner or right. 9 o'clock dinner. It doesn't work that way on a ship because you are literally 3 minutes away from your room at any point in the entire night. There's no drive home. There's mm-hmm. no... So eating late and staying up late is kind of hand in hand. You party, and then you're literally 3 minutes back to your bed, and you're still home early.
Yes.
That's my first tip.
That's your first tip. All right, here's one of my tips. Don't bother packing cologne.
Okay.
They've got a cologne store on the ship. You can go in and put a new cologne on every night for free and get to sample some of the colognes. But don't buy any of the cologne because it's really expensive. I didn't buy any, but...
They didn't notice you there every night?
Surely they did. She said hello to me every night. And what are they going to say?
Now, did you purposely not pack your cologne or you just forgot it?
No, I had cologne.
Oh, you just wanted to use theirs.
I wanted to try some new ones, and I ended up buying a new cologne.
Now, a good salesperson would be fine with that because you may find what you like.
And I did. I found a cologne that I liked.
Okay.
And I bought it at the duty-free store coming back onto the ship. Aww.
One of the...
But you know what? I got screwed anyways because I bought the 100 ml bottle of the cologne at the duty-free store for 63 euros, which comes out to about 85 US dollars.
Yes.
And here's what I thought. This is a new cologne. It's something that's not available over here. And I really, really liked it. So, and I didn't even open it.
It makes me not smell like a pig.
Exactly. And I didn't even bother opening it because I could still spray it on for free
on
ship, right? Well, I went to the mall today, as you know, to go to the Apple store. And I thought, well, while I'm here, I'm going to swing by Macy's and just see if they have my cologne.
Uh-huh.
And
because you're going to want to refill it at some point.
And if... what the price point is. Well, it is the holidays, so they have all their gift packs out. They have the exact cologne I bought, which I bought Burberry Brit, which is wonderful. They had the gift pack, 100 ml bottle of cologne. They had the little tester one that you get, like a little travel tester. The body wash and the shave cream, $75. So I got royally fucked. So don't buy anything at the duty-free store and don't buy anything and certainly don't buy
I really never do.
On the ship.
Yeah, no, once it doesn't seem to work out. They make their whole marketing ploy is that you're saving the tax, but their prices are so high.
Yes, it doesn't really matter. So one of the guys that I talked to the one that gave me the where to go in Istanbul, it was the visual merchandiser of the ship. So all of the display windows and all the stores, that was his work. Plus he did selling. He worked in the stores as well. Well, he told me at Sea Days that they generally will bring in about $110,000 in their stores, in all their stores. Can you imagine $110,000?
These people are a captive audience and they are all on vacation and they're at sea.
Yeah.
You know, you like to shop.
Yeah, sure.
And when the mood hits you, you're having little drinks, there's alcohol involved there too.
Uh-huh.
And it totally makes sense.
Yeah,
why
so.
They've got a whole mall section in those cruise ships.
Yeah. And they had special like little specials that came, you know.
They had like the jewelry store too?
Yeah. All the
I mean, really, is there anything special in there?
No.
And are people not like snatching that shit up like it's going away?
Let me tell you the funniest thing that happened to me was one of the mornings they had a watch set combo sale going on. So what these were is they were little gift boxes that had a watch and then possibly a bracelet or a necklace or earrings, you know, whatever, something to go with it. So they were a gift set, little boxes. They had men's and women's and they were $19.99 a piece. Okay. So Karen tells me, oh, you know, they would be really good gifts, you know, like Christmas gifts. Christmas is right around the corner.
I agree.
I thought, okay, I'll go look. It was like walking into a hornet's nest.
Oh God, no.
These people, and I mean, and you know, they're opening the boxes, looking and throwing the box down. I mean, just, and the boxes, they're flying in the air, you know, and just, and of course, and you know, I'm not a racist person generally, but those Chinese people, they're very pushy and they know a good deal when they can see one because they know that they're going to buy that $19.99 gift set and they're going to take it back to their liquor mart and they're going to sell it for $40. So they...
Yes, I'm sorry. I do not speak English. Okay.
No.
But you were just talking.
Yes, hot dog.
Exactly.
Yes, no, maybe. Okay.
They were stacking those boxes up like 6-7 high. Like they're, you know, And I finally turned to some guy. I'm like, what? Are they free? I mean, they were ravaging that table like it was the Last Supper. I had to leave. I couldn't do it.
I've been in an outlet store where the Chinese bus has let off before, and I've seen this occur too. Oh. Like, it's going out of style.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't even want to be part of this.
No, I left. I couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it.
Okay, so
cruise tip.
Cruise tips. Okay, so one of my other tips is, being that you're gay and I'm gay, I don't think I told you this one, by the way, but you figured it out on your own.
I think you did tell me. This is what I was waiting for.
Friends of Dorothy is the code word for the gay group on board. Usually they have like a little cocktail hour or a half hour or something like that at the beginning of the cruise. Look for it on your entertainment panel. It'll tell you what bar it's in and where to meet. And if you're gay, you can show up there and meet other gay people. It's just a little more subtle way than having a gay night.
Yeah, they had that. They didn't have it in our cruise pamphlet, but they had it at guest services. They had a little board.
Okay.
So they had Friends of Bill W. Are you familiar with them?
No.
That's like an AA group, and I didn't even know that.
Oh.
Until the
oh my gosh, I have seen that before.
And I didn't even know until the comedy show, of all things, the comedian was making fun of it. Right, how appropriate to be making fun of the alkies on board. But so they had the Friends of Bill W. meeting, and then they had the singles meet, and then they had the Friends of Dorothy meet. And that term is so old, I almost forgot that meant gay, to be honest. Friends of Dorothy. That's like from the 70s, honey.
Protecting families and kids or something. But I mean, you're right. That is so outdated.
Ours was every night at 8 o'clock at the Molecular Bar, and I went probably 8 nights, and there was not another single gay person there. But that is where Christian from Colombia was tending bar, so I was happy to sit there and have a cocktail with him.
How nice.
I have plenty of video and photos of him that I'll show you later. Cruise tips. So, yes, see the entertainment. A lot of people, and not only see the entertainment, but really explore the ship and everything that it has to offer. We were there for 2 days. And my stepsister and my stepmom were on the boat. And I told them, I said, well, let's go up to the observation deck or the observation sky bar for a drink.
Uh-huh.
They had no idea where that it was 2 days into the cruise.
Uh-huh.
Best place in the boat to have a drink is the observation sky bar.
And not packed, probably, because a lot of people were acting like that way.
Yeah,
right?
Nobody. There is never anybody up there, except for when they have special parties up there. So within probably the first 2 hours of being on that boat, I had walked every floor from bow to stern to see what was there. Because that's just the type of person I am. You know me, I'm all up in everybody's business. But
whether you want it or not.
Exactly. But explore the ship. Know it's there. Know where the bars are. Know where the restaurants are. Because every bar is different. It's not like every bar. I mean, yeah, you can get a rum and coke at every bar. You can get a beer at every bar. But every bar has its niche. So, you know, some bars specialize in this. Other bars specialize in that. Some have live music, some have, you know, dance music.
You can dance too.
Yeah. So explore it so that you know what is available for the 7 to whatever many days you're going to be on that boat, so that, you know, you don't find out on the last night, oh my God, there was a bar that does just what you want to do, you know, and you didn't know it was there.
Right.
So,
sunset cocktails and, yes, you know, Roomba music, not Roomba music,
whatever.
Samba music, excuse me.
Well, because case in point, my stepsister at one point was like, oh, I wish I had a piano bar.
Duh.
On ship. Hello?
There's probably 2 or 3.
There was 2 piano bars on the ship, yeah. I mean, explore it, walk it, spend a couple hours and really walk it, every floor, front to back, know where everything is.
Okay, my last tip is, if you drink on a ship, and most people go to drink on a ship, bring your booze.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you, they tell you, don't bring booze, we're going to take it from you. Most of the time, they don't take it from you. If they do take it from you, then, hey, you're out $15. Big woo. You know how much a cocktail is on those items? They're like $12 for the fancy ones with the nice glass. So you definitely need to make that happen.
Yes. So to expand on your tip.
Yes.
I recommend Rum Runner flasks. And you can find those at www.easytravelinc.com.
Okay.
And we are not being paid for this, but I'm giving you this as a listener tip. What do you notice about this flask?
It looks like a urine sample.
That's rum. Actually, it does look like it does. It's dark rum. It looks like a urine sample.
What oh, it's plastic.
It is 100% complete plastic. What does that mean to you, Scooter Booter?
That it can go through an X-ray machine without being detected.
Exactly. We got 4 liters of booze on the boat, which I still
have. And you brought back some.
I did, because we didn't finish it all. So I agree, you can bring some booze on board.
And if you want, just get the mixers that they have on board to mix with your drinks.
Right.
Which is way cheaper than buying drinks.
So they have the packages. I'm sure the ones that you sailed on also had packages. You could buy the mixer package or the cocktail package or whatever. I did the math. You'd have to, whatever package you bought, you would have to really work hard to make that math work out. So we bought the soda package because my idea was I brought vodka, I brought rum, and we'll just do soda. So the soda package was like $88.
Wow.
Yes.
But
it's 12 days.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of days.
Okay, 12 days.
And it comes with you with ice.
Yes, when you order a soda, they'll
give you a glass
with ice. Yes, that's extra. No, that's not true. The glass...
They don't just pour the soda in your hands.
No. So I did the math, because the sodas are $2 a can if you were to buy them, right? I only got like 30 sodas the entire trip.
That's okay.
So it's like $60, and I paid $88 for the package.
That's
so,
okay.
So my recommendation is don't buy the package, and don't be afraid to get what you want. If you want a drink, get a drink. If you want a Coke, get a Coke. Because I don't think at the end, those packages are not really designed to save you any money. I think they're designed to get your money before you even get on the boat.
I think it works in a family situation where you can sit, you buy one package for a person and then you get one soda at a time for each of your kids.
But you're not supposed to do that.
Oh, and you follow the rules.
Well, I'm not saying whether or not I follow the rules.
That's exactly why it's $88, is because people don't follow the rules.
Okay, well, I don't have a family.
That's, I know.
And Karen got her own soda package, and maybe that was our mistake. Maybe we should have just got one soda package.
Yes, yes.
But we didn't think we
because
were
one soda would make two drinks.
Right, and we didn't think we were. What if I was? We didn't spend on the ship was the one time we didn't spend a lot of time together. Separated.
Let me tell you how it would be without a package at all. If you just bought all of your drinks, it's literally a $300 to $400 bill if you're drinking lightly. If you have a drink in the afternoon with your show, and then maybe another one at the casino,
yeah, but
you're bringing up...
Yeah, but the cocktail package on our ship was almost $600.
I'm not talking about packages.
I know, but what you're saying is, if you drink lightly, it's $300. So, but the package was $600. So, unless you're going to drink
heavily... No, you're missing my point. I'm saying, if you think this is silly to bring your alcohol on, it makes sense. Because if you just go and buy the alcohol, you will have a gigantic room bill. Gigantic. Now, you just spent $88 on soda, so effectively your cocktails were $88. That's pretty good.
Well, plus the cost of the booze that I brought on.
Big deal.
Yeah. So here's what I noticed. The fancy cocktails...
You're going to quabble over $20?
Well, no.
The $60 to $88?
But the point I'm trying to make is I don't think... I would have brought less booze on. I would have brought 1 liter of vodka or 1 liter of rum, and I would have made a cocktail here or there in my room. Because what I was doing is I have, in addition to the large flasks, they have the little baby flasks, which you can put in your pocket, which means carrying around a flask of booze on the boat, and then ordering a soda and getting a glass of ice and then mixing your own drinks. I actually, at one point, I got a little cocky because I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I actually did it at the bar where he served me the soda and the ice. Like, I didn't even walk away from the bar. I just pulled my flask out and poured it in on the bar. And he was like, we're supposed to report you if we see you with alcohol. You're not supposed to have that. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I realized, all right, I need to step back and do it, you know, somewhere else. Which, I mean, they're not, like, looking for that, but I was being really like, here, I'm making a drink right on your bar, you know.
You're stupid. So, and I'm sure that was not in my cruise guide to you. Make drinks at the bar.
But the point I'm trying to make is the fancy fufu drinks were between $10 and $12. A regular martini was between $8 to $10, depending on the bar. Your regular cocktails were between $6 and $10. You could get a beer for $4. Sodas were $2. I think if I had to do it again, I would have brought less booze on and been less cognizant of I got to make my own drinks. and not bought any package and just bought what I wanted to buy. If I wanted a soda, I would have bought a soda.
That is
if
what
I
we
wanted
do.
A cocktail, I'd buy a cocktail.
That is what we do.
If I want a mimosa in the morning, I'll have a mimosa in the morning. Because my stepmom, she got that premium cocktail thing. And what it really comes down to make that work, is 5 drinks a day. Which maybe doesn't sound like a lot.
Oh, if, God, no.
If you're at sea. But of 12 days, Scooter Booter, we were only at sea 3 days. The rest of the days, we were off the boat in port for most of the day. So now you've got to have your 5 cocktails, like, in a short amount of time. And I guess if you want to get hammered every night, that's fine. But if you can get hammered for 12 nights in a row...
I didn't push any cocktail packages on you. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying you push them. My point is, if they are trying to sell you the cocktail packages, unless your goal is to get hammered every night, don't bother. Just order your drinks a la carte.
It seems kind of a little ridiculous. You said your stepsister, I don't know her, but it seems a little ridiculous that you would sign over something that said $600 on it when you don't even have the first drink in your hand. That seems a little bizarre.
Oh, no, that's what the cocktail package was.
I believe you, and they have wine packages. I just never understand it. It's like, okay, I could have wine every night. I don't, as much as I drink, I still don't think I could drink through that much alcohol.
Oh, I don't think so either, and that was my point. I'm like,
but you do see people signing them up, but I don't get it. I think they just like the whole sign and say all type of idea where it's like, I don't have to think about it.
I don't have to think about it. And I think that's where my stepmom was. In the very first, when we met her on the boat, the day of embarkation, we hadn't even left port yet. They were already at the martini bar, and she was drinking champagne, and then she had her second champagne. And then by the time she was having her third champagne, she's throwing it, oh, because I can have as many as I want, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I can see you. I don't know that you're going to get through this one. And sure enough, I mean, before she even got finished, she was already in her stateroom and in bed for the night. Yeah, 2.5 champagnes. How's that working out for the math? You know, it's like, so.
They're not stupid.
No, I don't think. I think you have to really, really push it.
But you can't.
To make those packages work for you. So I would have rather not have bought the soda package and just bought what I wanted to buy when I wanted to buy it.
Now, did they have juices out all day? Because they don't normally. Just for breakfast.
So that's what I was concerned about, was the coffee and the water. And not so much the juices, because I don't drink juice. But to answer your question, yes, the cafeteria had juice out all day long.
All day.
All day. The juice machine was open all day. The coffee machine was open all day. The tea was out all day. And then they have the water machine. You can drink water all you want.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, water.
That's amazing.
It's like it's free.
How much was the water package?
Oh, my God. The premium water package. No, you think it's a joke.
No, I don't. I know.
$130 for the premium water package. So you can drink all the bottled water you want.
That water that comes out of that tap is like quadruple filtered.
I know.
It's probably seawater that they filter.
It is seawater. It's not probably. It is. It is seawater that they filter.
People are stupid.
So anyways, it was. But so that, yeah. But everyone is always worried about the alcohol. And I think that one of our.
No, you should be worried about the alcohol.
Our friend handler was.
If you bought it a la carte the entire trip, you would be broke.
I don't think so. I think you're wrong. Nah. Unless you were getting hammered every night. But I can't get hammered every night anymore. I can't do that anymore. A couple cocktails and I'm done.
Okay, so you said she spent about $400.
Who?
You said she got through about $400 worth of cocktails.
Oh, I would guess less than that. But she spent way over that.
What would you spend based on the number of drinks that you ordered?
I would have probably have spent $500. I would have been under.
Okay, now you're a couple.
Right.
What is your room bill for just cocktails?
Well, $1,000 for two people.
Okay, plus all of your tipping, plus anything you bought in the mall, you are really pissed off at the end of this cruise because you got a state room bill of almost, you know, $1,500,
$2,000. Okay, yes.
Bringing the alcohol portion out of that makes it way more manageable. I think that was my point to you of bring your alcohol on.
Yeah. Yes. If you don't mind hauling around your alcohol and making cocktails on your own.
Well, I didn't tell you to haul it around. I told you to bring it on.
I wasn't going to go to my room every time I wanted to make a drink.
Well, here's how we did it. We would have a cocktail before dinner. We would change after dinner sometimes into maybe more comfortable clothing. So we'd have a cocktail then. And then when we were out at the casino or the show, we would buy a cocktail there. I wasn't hauling alcohol around.
So you're only having 3 cocktails a night.
That's enough. Shit, Boozo.
I was drinking at least one little flask a night.
Well, you were in a hurry, apparently.
No wonder I was in my stateroom for 2 days solid.
Apparently you followed my instructions too much to the letter. I mean, it's good that you didn't have $500 additional on your stateroom bill.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, so we've got a lot here.
Uh-huh.
I really would like to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race because we're almost at the final episode.
Are we?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. There's only one more episode, right?
And I know you haven't watched it. We don't have to get to that point, but I would like to at least broach it.
Do you want
to
talk a little bit about it?
Yes.
All right, well, let's just talk a little bit about it. RuPaul's Drag Race. Start your engines. RuPaul's Drag Race. Be the best
woman win. RuPaul's Drag Race. Start your engines. Season what? 5 or 4?
Well, it's technically not one of their numbered seasons because last season was 4 and then the next season is 5. So she's calling this All Stars.
Okay, so this is her 5th year on Bravo. And I'm officially giving her the Brilliant Drag Queen Award.
Really?
Brilliant Person Award. She has turned this into something out of nothing. I mean, she's taking trash and turning it into television. And she's got all these catchphrases. Give me one here.
Like this one?
Congratulations.
Perfectly. We all know this one. Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations.
She's got catchphrases. She's got people. 4 seasons. She's got all-stars already who are dying to get back on the show and win it again. Yeah, or win it for the first time.
Or try to win it, yes.
Yes. And I'm like sitting there watching it going, this is crazy that drag queens are commanding this kind of television.
Yes.
So, hats off. I don't...
Now, what did you think about the twist? The teams?
Well, I like it. I felt it was a little sad for a few couples in that they were kind of forced together and they couldn't win on their own merits. What did you think?
Such as
Pandora Box and Mimi Rogers.
Mimi, I'm first.
Thank you.
So I blame Pandora Box.
I absolutely blame Pandora Box as much as I don't like Mimi, I'm first.
Yeah, I blame her because she gave up.
And she gave up before they even got started.
Right. So you can't expect... I really think that Mimi, I'm first really tried.
And Mimi, I'm first is kind of a wreck. I'll give her that. I would be disappointed too, but at the same time, it's like, okay, well, this is what I've been dealt.
Yes.
You got to make it work.
Right.
Because you never know, is RuPaul going to change the rules in the second show?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody switch partners.
Right.
But if you're going to blow yourself up...
Which she did.
Which she did.
Yes. Did you love that picture, by the way? The picture of when Mimi, I'm first went in for the kiss and Pandora Box had like that deer in the headlights look.
I thought it was fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think Pandora Box lost that for them, not Mimi and first. Her lack of...
Eventually, Mimi would have lost it for them, yeah. But Pandora did lose it because she just didn't commit.
Right.
So, it's fine. And like Jujubee, or was it Manila, said, somebody has to go first. When they saw Mimi on first come on, yes. They're like, well, somebody has to get kicked off first.
Now, you haven't watched any of the Untucks, right?
Not yet. They're starting to record.
Okay, the Untucks... Are by far better than the regular show.
They are the real show, aren't they?
They are the real show. And there is some fabulous Untucked stuff going on. And I love Tammy Brown. And Tammy Brown, of course, she's been on our show before. She guest hosted,
yes.
I forget what episode that was, but look it up. She was a guest host. She is nothing but short a cuckoo, let me just say.
You're just figuring that out?
She is hysterically cuckoo. Now, I do believe... She's being edited to look cuckoo. I think they're taking things that she says at one point and pasting them into another point to make her look crazy. But even,
I think most of that show is that.
But even the other, what was it? Raven at one point was like, I think it was in the second episode Untucked. She's like, I would love to just be in her world for like 10 minutes or something like that. I would just love to, for 10 minutes to live on her world.
Yeah. You know? You know, I feel like Tammy Brown is crazier in this season. And I do think it's editing, but there are some things that even out of context, like why would you ever say that? You know, like I can't think of a context where that fits.
What do you think about her? Like, so the challenge in episode 2 was to write jokes and present them as some sort of character. And she's not going to write jokes because she doesn't need to, because people just laugh at her anyways.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the challenge.
That was a give up right there.
So you think she was giving up so soon?
No, but I think RuPaul was telling her, this is your challenge. You don't get to make your own rules.
You don't think she was telling her. She did tell her, like, this is the challenge. And Tammy Brown was just like, yeah, but people laugh at me anyway, so, you know.
I'm just going to go with laughter.
I'm just going to go with this. And it's just like.
And poor Nina Flowers. My gosh. So now you saw Ruse Gaffin, right?
Yes.
I thought that was a hysterical show. When they're coming out of the little doors or whatever.
Yeah, the little.
And I laughed the most at Tammy Brown and Nina Flowers because they were so completely out of sync. That is kind of that comedy bit where it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Which is funny sometimes when you don't get it.
Right.
That is the joke. It's like, you're so weird. I don't get you. I'm going to laugh.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, no, it was a good show. That's as far as I've gotten. I know you think you're a little further along. Now, I have a little a little cheese made. I don't know if you have time for that. Do we need it in the show? Because are you curious at all?
Cheese made?
A little cheese made?
Sure.
Since it's just you and I talking, there's no one else here.
Lean in, honey.
Lean in? Okay, I'll whisper this. So one of my friends, and I can't say who. I promised I wouldn't say who. I don't know that I promised I said I wouldn't talk about this, but I definitely promised I wouldn't say who.
Can you sign who?
If
you sign it to me, I could tell the listeners.
no, but I could tell you after the show who it was. You might figure out who it is. But anyways, has communicated to Raven via the technologies. I think on Jacked or Grindr or one of those devices on your phone, you know, the little programs that you...
Social media.
Yes, that thing, yes, mm-hmm. That's it. And so they've been communicating, and so I got to see a full frontal picture of Raven.
Of Raven and?
Let's just say there
and
is
a... Don't! F*** it up.
Let's just say that there is a reason she has no problem being naked on that show. She's got a lot to display.
She's got it going on.
She's got it going on. I don't know how she tucks. And that was one of the questions, I think, on that little thing was, who has a tighter tuck? It has to be tight in order for it to go anywhere.
Oh, my.
It is quite now, impressive.
Raven is one of my favorite yay backs because I was a big fan of Raven. Season 2, maybe? Season 1? I don't remember. He has a new, better, cuter boy look than he had before.
Yeah, if it isn't for the big nose.
He's got that high and tight that we love.
He looks really cute as a boy. He just needs to get the nose trimmed down a little bit. Don't you think it's a little big of a schnauz?
He's got a big schnauz, but big schnauz, big ears don't bother me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I hang out with you.
Oh, that's just a big head. he's definitely... So the he's got a very nice body and a nice...
Now, did you see the picture or you got the cheese made?
No, I saw it.
Oh, my goodness.
I've seen it a couple times.
So he's not shy of it.
No.
Obviously, with that photo shoot. That is cheese made.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to have to be late to my next appointment. Okay, so who else on the show are you glad that's back?
Well, obviously, I'm glad. I love Chanel. We had the distinct pleasure hanging out with Chanel in Vegas.
Yes.
Why are you, you don't like her?
No. I'm putting my finger in my, listeners, I'm putting my finger in my mouth and blowing.
Blowing your cheeks up. She has packed on a couple extra LBSs.
She knows it.
I know. I feel.
She doesn't look bad.
No.
But I just, having met her in person, I was a little surprised.
There's nothing better than a full-figured woman in drag.
She just doesn't need the foam anymore.
No. Did I tell you I saw her for the Halloween show? She was phenomenal. Her costuming is phenomenal. She's an excellent performer and costumer.
She says on one of the shows, and I'm not ruining anything for you, that she is perceived as arrogant or snotty or something like that. And I could see why viewers might think that, but I mean, we have met her. She's really not.
No, she's really nice.
She's just very into making an amazing display of her costume. She is an amazing costumer.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, she's very down to earth. And the times we've hung out with her as a boy, she's very, very cool person.
And a boy's boy, not a shrilly drag queen, which you can kind of see on the show. I mean, she's just kind of hanging out. She's not like...
Yeah, she's not that
throwing a tantrum.
Karma Electra type of boy. She's just a regular guy. She's just a guy.
One of the guys.
Just a dude. Just a guy. of course, I'm glad Chad is back because I think he's excellent. And other than that, I think there's a bunch of I don't cares. I mean, Tammy, I love Tammy Brown.
I like Latrice.
Oh, and I love Latrice, of course.
Because I love her spirit.
What's not to love?
Yeah, I love her spirit. I think she's still a little bit of a mess in pulling it together. She doesn't, from a, you know, she's almost like, she's more, I don't know how to describe her. She's like black woman going out to the bar, you know, big fancy night once a week or whatever. She's not, she's elegant. She's very elegant. But the drag queens have that like over the top thing.
Yes.
She doesn't go there. Or that crazy thing. She doesn't go there. She's just who she is. So, and I think that's what wins it, is when you're kind of a little over the top.
So, you haven't seen the Untucked. In Untucked number 2, during one of the, they're all together in one of the rooms, they bring a video of Chad's dad. Mm-hmm. And Chad's dad is telling him, you know, how proud he is of him, and yada, yada, yada. And so then Chad says, well, they haven't even seen each other in like 25 years or something, you know? And then this sparks a whole daddy complex amongst the drag queens. And the next thing it is they're like all just in tears. All of them are crying. It's like mascara. It's like river mascara, you know, Rio.
They're supposed to go back out to be judged.
Yes, I know. And I'm like, RuPaul, you fucking bitch.
It's like, isn't she? Brilliant. This is the brilliant right here.
It's like, let's get that knife in there, and then we'll turn it a couple times, and then I've got the sea salt to just throw it right on top.
It's just like in the workroom when she comes in, she's like, oh, so what's your idea for, you know, the laughing? And she's like, ooh, I don't know if that's really going to connect with the audience. Yes. Everything is a insert doubt, insert doubt, insert doubt.
Yes. That was actually, I almost felt that to be a little bit cruel.
I think it's a Project Runway technique, but yeah, it's for drama.
Yes.
Just
yes.
For drama.
It's for our pleasure.
Yeah.
And boy, we loved it.
And those violins, you know, like that—that yeah. That, you know, like you just found out something bad had happened, and you're like, they play that music, like,
yes.
Oh my god, I can't believe she said that. Okay, so best power couple.
Well, I want to say it's Chad and Chanel, but I don't know. I think either they're being judged on a completely different level, or they're not performing, and I'm just not seeing it. Because I think they're doing great. I don't think they deserve to be in the bottom two in the first episode. And then they were not given a whole lot of kudos in number two. Although Chanel didn't do so great in number two. But still, I feel like because they're the power couple, they're being almost dismissed. If that makes any sense.
It does. It does. They were my first kind of, when I looked at the first show, I was... Immediately, I'm like, oh, well, they're clearly going to win this. Just because they are a power couple, and they have been in the business. They're very established. But by the second episode, I took notice of the Latin queens.
Hmm.
There's something going on there. And I think it has more to do with, what's her face?
Alexis Mateo.
Yes. Yara Sofia.
Yara Sofia.
Yara Sofia. She's pretty... crazy herself, but interesting and unique and amazing designer. So
she's crazy in a way that I don't even understand.
It translates well, in my opinion. I like it. It's very unique. It's always very unique and very sophisticated. Except when she came out, I don't know if you've seen this yet, she comes out with a clothes rack on her head.
I haven't seen that one.
You'll know which one I'm talking about when you see it. Apparently this comes from Paris somehow, but it's just kind of like, she's too into that design scene that it almost doesn't connect with normal people.
Right.
Like you and I, normal people.
Yes. Well, you haven't seen me. I'm going out tonight. I've got my clothes rack ready for my head.
And my last comment is, Michelle Visage is a fucking whore. I don't get that. I mean, I understand her and Rue are buds.
Prostitution whore?
Yes. That kind. I know she sang a song and she was in some film or whatever, but I just, not interesting to me. She's not interesting.
Did you see the friction between her and Tammy Brown on episode 2?
I don't remember.
I think it was in the Untucked. And Tammy Brown basically told her, like, Tammy Brown told her off. Like, she
She thinks she's the shit.
Oh, well, Tammy Brown told her. It was no surprise to me why Tammy Brown got sent home on episode 2 after seeing what she told Michelle Visage in the Untucked version.
Yeah.
And because it was very direct, like, you are something, and basically how trashy she is.
I just don't get some of the judge commentary. If you're going to judge a drag queen competition, who would you put in the judge spots?
Not other drag queens.
Why?
Why? Because then it's going to be catty. You know, like, oh, I can do this better than you. So I would choose probably, like, maybe, like, a club promoter. Someone that knows what people want.
Okay,
people
entertainment,
like.
Yeah.
Someone in entertainment, and then definitely someone in the fashion.
Okay, so I think that's her. I think that's RuPaul's push for Michelle Visage, even though they're obviously good friends. And then Santino.
Santino.
Who...
Well, Santino's the one I think is a bigger bitch than Michelle.
Jesus, I have problems with both of them. Yeah. Michelle doesn't like the color green, so you're automatically fucked if you wear green. What the hell does that have to do
except
with
for
anything?
When Rue wears green, then it's all of a sudden
you're
like,
amazing!
Oh, yeah, you look beautiful in that beautiful green dress!
And Santino makes me laugh in that his commentary is, like, so dismissive of all the hard work that goes into some of that shit. It's like... Well, it looks kind of unfinished to me. Or that's couch fabric. And it's like, they probably took couch fabric and turned it into a dress they could walk down the runway.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you do that, mister.
Yeah. I love the, you know, I've never been able to get out of my head. And I think it was Jiggly Caliente in last season when she called him a bald bitch or something. You balding bitch. Do you remember that? I can never, now whenever I see Santino, it's like, I'm like, take that hat off.
He's got the hat on.
Let's see what you look like without that hat.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's something to that because he's always wearing the hat, right?
Yes.
So, how funny. But, yeah, I think it might be a good time for Rue to switch up some of the judges.
I would like that.
I would be happy to be a judge for her.
That would be so fun.
Yeah, could you imagine?
But you're a drag queen, so you can't.
Oh, yep, you're right. Good point.
All right, so we have to say adieu because your iPod's bursting with Babylon fullness by now, but we would like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Have lots of pumpkin pie and...
Ooh, you got some pie, eh? Can I have a piece?
Sure.
Ooh, let me have some of that Cool Whip.
I love Cool Whip.
What'd you say?
I do like Cool Whip.
You can't have a pie without Cool Whip.
Right?
Cool Whip? Cool Whip, yeah.
You mean Cool Whip?
Yeah, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're saying it weird. Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying it. Cool Whip. You put Cool Whip on pie. Pie tastes better with Cool Whip.
Say whip. Whip. Now say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're eating hair.
I don't get tired of that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
But when I have Cool Whip, I do think of eating hair on my pie. Yeah, so I made some pies last night. Did you see my picture?
I did not.
Yeah, I made a pumpkin pie and a Dutch apple pie.
Oh, I did see it. And thank you for bringing me a piece. I appreciate that.
I am for you.
Yes.
That's all.
Ah, excuse me.
You can come over later and have leftovers.
Leftovers. I'm going to make some pecan pies tomorrow, probably.
I have to make pecan bars tonight, too. I am in charge of all the desserts for the entire weekend for my family.
Oh, well, now you have an apron to keep the sticky stuff
That's
off.
That's right. Thank you so much. So, you having people over for Thanksgiving?
I have not decided what I'm doing yet. I think I want to avoid the whole thing.
Good.
Yes.
You're not going to have Gobble Gobble over your mom?
She's dying to come over. I haven't decided if I'm inviting her yet.
Did you see her since your trip?
No. Tomorrow. I'll make time to see her tomorrow.
Okay.
I didn't go to the mall today. What can I mean, you know, priorities, honey.
And get turned down by the Genius Bar?
Yes.
Your poor mom. All right. Well, you have a fantastic Thanksgiving.
And you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. To all our listeners, don't eat too much. Trust me, it's very hard to take it off after the holiday. So just little bites.
True that. And we're headed into our holiday Christmas episode. We'll probably just have some hot man in a Santa suit. But
sure, why not?
Same old shit.
Rip it.
Nothing special.
Why bother with the suit?
You have a good point there.
Yes. So. All right, Scooty Booty. Well, you have a great holiday, and we will see you in a couple weeks right back here on Babylon Podcast. I'm Ann Phillips.
And I'm Scooty Booter.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, kids. You take me there, you take me where the kingdom comes. You take me to, lead me through Babylon. This is the morning of this is the dawning of our